In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. So throughout these festal services, there's a line that is repeated 9 times. And so you know when something is repeated so often, that's something that you want to pay attention to. And that thing that is repeated, that line, is God hath ascended in jubilation, the Lord with the voice of the trumpet. And this is something that the priest says every Sunday, just before the great entrance, as he picks up the chalice and is about to process with it. As he lifts it up, he says, God hath ascended in jubilation, the Lord with the voice of the trumpet. And then he begins that procession. And the doxesticon at Vespers, which we didn't hear because we didn't serve Vespers tonight, continues this line. We sing, God hath ascended in jubilation, the Lord with the voice of the trumpet, to raise the fallen likeness of Adam, and to send the comforting spirit to sanctify our souls. 9 times it's repeated. Let us attend. To raise the fallen likeness of Adam and to send the comforting spirit to sanctify our souls. So we read in the Orthodox Gospel, there's many accounts, by the way, of the ascension of Christ, both in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. In the Orthodox Gospel, we read that Christ commanded his disciples at the end of his 40 days with them to go into the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation, that he who believes and is baptized is saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. So this act of ascension, this is one of Christ's saving acts for us. During the liturgy, the priest remembers, it's called the anamnesis, the remembering, many of these saving acts. The cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the sitting at the right hand of the Father, and also the second and glorious coming. And so ascension is not held in isolation, but is part of a progression of Christ to us and us to him. So it's connected to Pascha, because after the resurrection of Christ, he spent 40 days with his apostles, teaching them about the kingdom and preparing them for their work of preaching the gospel, culminating in his ascension. It's also connected to the Feast of Pentecost, because prior to his ascension, he promises to send the Holy Spirit to descend upon them and to fill them. And so we have this promise, and with the apostles, we wait. And it's also connected to the second and glorious coming of Christ. Because when the apostles are staring up into the heavens, and Christ has disappeared into the clouds, the angels who are there look at them and say, "What are you looking at?" Kind of like at the tomb of Christ, they ask, why do you seek the living among the dead? And so this time the angels say to the apostles who are looking up, looking for Christ, and they say, what are you looking for? He will ascend in the same manner that he came in glory, or that he has now ascended. He will return in glory. And so we also look forward to the second and glorious coming of Christ as part of this Feast of Ascension. And in this, God is so good. God is so good. Because in this feast, he yet again reveals himself to us as one God in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Son ascending and then sitting at the right hand of his Father with the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. He is always revealing himself to us. Glory to God. And we should be amazed at this. We should be amazed. Because the angels were amazed. All throughout the hymnography of the church surrounding this feast, we hear that the angels were surprised and amazed. So at the end of Orthros, in the, I believe it was in Orthros, the Doxasticon, perhaps it was Vespers. There's a lot of beautiful hymns. Forgive me. We hear, "Wherefore the ranks of the incorporeal celestials were amazed and overtaken by surprise. They trembled from wonder and magnified thy love to mankind. With them, we terrestrials also glorify thy condescension to us and thine ascension from us." And so just as the angels were amazed at his incarnation and his condescension at entering into his creation, so they are surprised to see a man ascending and sitting at the right hand of God the Father. God has raised up our fallen nature from the depths of sin and death and brought our humanity to the heights of heaven. You know, this is actually imaged in the little entrance that we did just a few minutes ago. In fact, the whole economy of God's salvation for us. Right? The deacon is processing, carrying what? The gospel. Christ's gospel. This is the word of God representing Christ. And he comes into the midst of his people. And at the end of the entrance, he is placed on the altar on top an icon, which is very similar to the Epitaphios in the back, an icon of Christ entombed. And so from being in the midst of his people, he is then brought and placed into the tomb. And then from there, that little entrance doesn't actually end at the altar. It pauses for a moment. But the entrance continues after or during the Trisagion hymn as the priest then goes to the high place behind the altar where there are usually several thrones. And the priest says this at the prompting of the deacon. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed art thou on the throne of thy glory of thy kingdom, who art enthroned upon the cherubim always, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen." This is the ascension. Blessed art thou on thy throne, seated at the right hand of the Father, who art enthroned upon the cherubim. And so we have in this little entrance an entering into Christ's incarnation, his death and resurrection, and his ascension and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Thank God. Thank God. And how can we not give thanks and bless God and glorify Him who has done all of these things for me and for you? And we often don't. Often we live our lives as if this is it. I've got to, get this errand done. I've got to finish this project. I've got to do this and this and this. And when there's a speed bump that gets in the way, forget it. Maybe that's just me. But why should we do anything but give thanks and bless and glorify God? Why should we let differences of opinion separate us? Small irritations to get under our skin. And fear of unknowns cast shadows on our joy. Rather, let us live our lives remembering our high calling, that of apostles and heirs of the kingdom. We, whose humanity Christ took on and raised up to the heights of heaven. And so as apostles and heirs of the kingdom, let us live our lives in the worship of God and preaching His gospel, not just in here, not just at coffee hour or the festal meal, everywhere, as we hear in the gospel. They went preaching the gospel everywhere. The Feast of Ascension often gets kind of a sore treatment because that means the Paschal season's over. We don't get to say Christ is risen anymore. We have to start fasting again. And I don't know, there seems to be some kind of letdown at the end of that Paschal period. Guess what? Christ is still risen. We may not say it liturgically at the beginning and ending of every service. In 10 days, we might change the vestment colors. Christ is still risen. You can still carry that Paschal joy with you, even after the Paschal season concludes. So, brothers and sisters, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. He has ascended and sits enthroned in glory in our humanity to prepare a place for us and sends His all-holy and life-giving Spirit to fill us and all things. To the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.